Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Blockhash Podcast, episode 380. Today, talking with the CEO of Lofty, Jerry Chu, and how they are creating fractionalized investing into real estate assets, something that's very new, but opens up a more inclusive way for people to get into the market that maybe wouldn't have the opportunity before. And then some of the other things they're working on in terms of liquidity pools and other opportunities within Lofty. So Jerry, here on the show today, super happy to have you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal. Thanks for having me here.
Pleasure is all mine. Before we jump into talking about Lofty, we'd love to know a bit more about yourself. I'm sure people will be curious to what your background is like, you know, what's your personal story and what kind of led you into doing what you're doing now with Lofty.
Yeah, that's a great question. So personally, my background, went to school for math and economics for undergrad. Always wanted to sort of work in the quantitative field. And I was personally interested in finance as well. So I thought maybe one day I'd go, be a quant essentially on Wall Street. So I also got my master's degree in financial engineering. And I had the opportunity to basically do that. And I worked at Barclays for, a few months and kind of realized, while I love the team and the topics and the stuff is interesting, I didn't really see myself in a sort of traditional corporate environment for a very long period of time. It just didn't seem like it was for me. I decided to kind of pivot and do my own company, which I always wanted to do as well. So I taught myself how to code and then eventually launched Lofty in its first iteration, which kind of has nothing to do with what we're doing today. But it's how we got started. And we eventually pivoted into our current business model because, myself and my co-founder started kind of learning more about real estate, which was what our software was initially for. And we kept trying to sell it to real estate investors. And one of the things is like, well, if you aren't a real estate investor yourself, like how do you know what they actually want? And so it probably makes sense to kind of familiarize ourselves and actually get into this. So my co-founders and I try to invest in real estate ourselves and quickly realize like, wow, what a freaking nightmare it is. Like just the sheer process, the paperwork, the back and forth. It's like, you know, and this wasn't such a long time ago. This was back in, 2020, 2021. Coinbase existed, crypto was around, Robinhood was around. It just seemed like every other aspects of investing and buying assets have improved over time for everyone involved. And real estate was just not included in that for some reason. And so as we went through the process, we quickly realized it was just such a pain to the point where we basically like towards the end just kind of like gave up. I'm like, you know what? This is so stupid. Like, why would I do this? Like, I'll just put, more money into the stock market or something else. And then that was kind of our aha moment because one of the main issues with our previous software was the churn was very high. And so we never quite understood why, right? Like no matter what we fixed, no matter how we improved the software, it just didn't seem to really go away. And then we had our aha moment that it's like, now we know why, because the process sucks. Mm-hmm. Like imagine we bought our own software and we're trying to invest in real estate. And by the end, we just basically gave up. I'm like, screw it, we're not going to do it anymore. Then obviously you wouldn't need the software and you probably would cancel it. And so we quickly then realized like, you know what? It seems like the actual problem is just with actually like the investment process itself. Like, how do we streamline this? How do we make it easier so that you don't get frustrated and it's something that is easy to learn and anyone can access? And that ultimately led us to where we are today.
Yeah, what's wild about real estate is the threshold to be able to participate is so high these days, and it's continuously going up. Yet the median income for an average person in America isn't going up. So it's like everyone's constantly getting priced out of that opportunity. And then there's tons of complexities and paperwork and, you know, taxes and things that go into it that make it so much less appealing than just buying a stock, which is very easy to do. Just set up a brokerage account, boom, there you go. So I think real estate's way overdue for an opportunity like this, being able to invest at least in a fractionalized way, being able to get some kind of exposure, at least opening up the opportunity more.
Absolutely. You know, that is one of the main benefits to our platform and overall why this industry needs to evolve. It's really three primary reasons, right? That we identified as a big issue with real estate investing in general. The first is just that it's really inaccessible and expensive, right? And it's not even about whether someone has money or not. Like, I happen to know a lot of people who are very well off, but even for them, right? It's like, you know, if your net worth is like a few million dollars, can you put $1 million in cash into this house? It's still like difficult even for them, right? So it's just so expensive. Then the second issue is that the process itself just sucks. Like, even people who do have the money, right? Talk to anyone who actually owns real estate, who have invested, who have bought homes, who have sold homes. And just like, yeah, did you like your house? A lot of times like, yeah, I loved my house. I'm like, did you like the process of buying and selling that house? Like 99% of the time people go, oh no, it was such a pain. Like, I wish I didn't have to do that every single time, right? So that is a huge issue. It creates a lot of friction. And then the third issue is also that it's just scary for a lot of folks because the liquidity, because of such an expensive asset and the way transactions happen in this space, there isn't a ton of liquidity. And so a lot of people are just worried. It's a psychological thing. Like, if I put money into this, even if I know, you know, I'm being smart, I'm thinking long-term, I want to keep it there for 10 years and it's a long-term investment, you know, what if something happens in 2 or 3 years? Like, economy changes, I lose my job, health problems, like, what is my recourse? Do I have to sell at a loss? You know, and it's just like, it scares people. So again, a lot of folks that have the time and money to do this still don't, just because it's, for that reason, it's not very appealing. And so really it's that combination of those three main issues that really make real estate, despite being one of the best asset classes for wealth maintenance and creation, just overall not appealing to a lot of people and just inaccessible to a lot of people. So our hope at Lofty is that by essentially turning real estate more liquid and also making it so that anyone who has an interest can essentially access it. Like, the lowest denomination on our platform is, you know, $50. So really it's sort of a statement of like, hey, if you want to do this, now you can. There's nothing like stopping you anymore from the capital requirement perspective. But, you know, just because the lowest denomination is $50, it doesn't mean you can't invest more. Like, we have users that have multi-million-dollar portfolios on Lofty, right? They don't just buy one token. They don't just invest in one share. They buy, you know, a ton of the ownership. And so really it's just makes it so that it's for everyone, for rich people, for people who don't have the money. And that's how it should be.
So how do you guys make this possible? Do you go out and acquire the real estate as a company, or do you work with other owners that are looking for people to invest into the real estate? Or how do you like make this a system where, you know, you can bring in the real estate opportunities and then people can so easily just, you know, put $50 into one of these properties and have an investment? Like, what goes into that?
Yeah. So that's a good question. So we're quite different than a lot of our competitors in this space. So we are a pure marketplace, meaning we hold no inventory. We don't own any of the assets you see on our platform. And today we've tokenized maybe, I think, over 142 properties at this point, ranging anywhere from, you know, single family houses to a commercial strip mall to Airbnb properties to small multifamily units, things like that. The platform itself is very flexible. But really what we do is we just provide a marketplace for real estate. So people who, anyone who wants to sell a house, sell their property, can do so on Lofty. And then they can sell it to people who are interested in buying ownership in those properties, right? So, think about like eBay, for example. We're basically eBay, but for houses, right? It's as simple as that. And the mechanism by which we allow people to sort of eat up real estate in smaller chunks is by a unique process where, if people are familiar with the term DAO, like a decentralized autonomous organization, there's actually now legal entities that can sort of reflect that management style. And so we basically help the sellers create these DAO LLCs in the state of Wyoming. And they're basically identical to LLCs, right? Which is a very common structure used in real estate. Basically gives you liability protection. It allows this entity to legally own assets in the United States, right? So a lot of benefits there. The owner basically just transfers the deed of their property into this DAO LLC. And then we mint the tokens for them and then give them 100% of that ownership, right? Then they can just onboard this property to Lofty and then sell a portion of that ownership. And you can sell anywhere from, minimum 10%, but all the way up to 100% if you wish. And then other people come and it's a two-sided marketplace. They say, well, I like this property. I don't like that property. I like this state or this city or this region. People have their own opinions on what is a good investment to them and their risk tolerance. And all the documents are publicly disclosed. So you can read inspection reports, appraisal reports to see if the seller's pricing it in a fair way. You can do your own research, obviously, on neighborhood ratings and things like that. So essentially, it's the exact same process as if you were to go out and buying a house or investing in a house by yourself. Like you would do the exact same set of things, but you have to do more work because you have to order the inspections, you have to, order the appraisals, right? And again, if you were to want to co-invest with other people, having multiple owners in the same entity, you have to set up your own LLC, you have to then find these other people, right? Like, do you have the network? So there's all these barriers and friction. So we basically just do that, but in a digital way, and handle a lot of the annoying sort of paperwork process for you. But the rough structure is identical. Like, and that's our main goal, is to mimic the real estate market as identical as possible and just keep the part that people really like and enjoy about that, and then remove all the parts that they don't enjoy, right? And so that's what's unique about Lofty. We don't manage any of these assets for you. So the owners actually vote with their ownership through this DAO on how to manage the property. So owners have voted to sell the underlying house and spin down the DAO and redeem the proceeds. Owners have, voted how to deal with delinquent tenants. They voted on, converting a long-term rental to a short-term rental because they think that will, increase their financial outcomes. They've done the reverse, right? Like, so I think since we launched, there's been over 600 or something governance votes at this point, and it's extremely robust, and people have basically found a way to make decision together on every single thing you could imagine under the sun that's related to how to manage their property. So that's really how Lofty works and how we're different.
So if you're an investor and you buy a substantial amount into a real estate investment, do you get voting rights in terms of how you maybe want to manage that property or have input?
Yeah, one token equals one vote, and it's universal to everyone. So you're sort of all, and that's what's unique about us and why, our platform's not just limited to accredited investors, right? Is because everyone has essentially equal say. Normally you have structures that people tend to use in real estate. There's one active manager, right? The general partner or the GP, and everyone else is kind of passively investing money with that GP, right? You give your money to someone else, and you're known as a limited partner. So you have skin in the game, you have money there, but you don't actually get to make any decisions. And it's up to this GP to decide which property to buy with the money, when to sell it, how much to sell it for, what kind of value to add on the property, if any. And they basically control everything. And so those type of structures and products essentially end up being securities. And that's why, you have to be an accredited investor. But that kind of to us at least, defeats the entire purpose, right? The entire goal of fractional real estate is to make real estate investing accessible to everyone. And if you have to limit it to accredited investors, then that defeats the entire purpose and the vision, essentially. And so we realized that if you have a group of people, you know, like they could be friends, family, colleagues, but they acquire real estate collectively together and manage it collectively together as sort of equals, right? Some people might own more, so they have more voting rights, essentially. But essentially, you're all equals. There isn't like one person that's managing it and everyone else being silent. That structure doesn't require, it's not a securities. And so it doesn't require, accreditation. It doesn't require all these other complicated structures and registrations. And to be honest, it's actually more transparent for the users as well. So again, because you manage everything, you have full insight into all the data and the details. You're in control. You have the right to request any information you want. And so, again, it's like why buying your own house doesn't require you to be an accredited investor, because you have full control of that. You have all the details, all the information. There doesn't need to be any mandated disclosure laws or anything like that, right? So that's really what's different and unique about this. And that's essentially our goal, right? To make it so that if you go on the open real estate market, you can buy a house as long as you have the money, whenever you want to. And then as crazy as it sounds, within a week or two, you could put it up for sale and no one comes and tells you and says like, hey, you know, you're not allowed to sell for 5 years, which in these fund structures tends to be the case. So we wanted to mimic that. Like that's how the real estate market is and that's how the platform should be. We are very different in the sense that you are, you know, while you don't have to do any physical work, like you're not getting the phone call at 2 or 3 a.m. Because a pipe is leaking. The reason is because the group collectively hires a property manager that handles the sort of day-to-day management, collecting the rent, you know, picking up the phone calls, making repairs, things like that. But all the management decisions are voted on by the owners of the property of the tokens. And so, you know, it's not physical work, but you are required to vote on things. And so you are like managing your own portfolio of real estate, essentially. So it's not actually passive investing. And for folks that want passive investing or just simple exposure, there's already instruments out there that fit them. Like REITs exist for a reason, right? Like if you don't want any, say, just like I want some exposure to real estate, you're probably better off just putting in some money into this REIT, you know, on the stock market. It's probably more liquid as well versus putting your money into some private fund, which a lot of these platforms are essentially operating. So Lofty is the only place where, you know, you can buy real estate very easily. But at the same time, you can also sell real estate very easily. And again, that's just unique to us because we're trying to mimic what you are able to do out on the open market.
So is there any lockup period when someone invests? Like, can they put $50 in and say tomorrow, never mind, they want to pull $50 out? Or do they have to allocate it for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, there's no lockup period. And again, okay. That's one of the, you know, huge advantages to our platform. I'll do you one even better. You can, you know, buy it for $50 and in 5 seconds decide you don't want that and then sell it immediately. Now you'll lose some money to, you know, transaction fees. And that's how we make money as a business. Essentially, we are the platform. So anytime any transactions occur between people peer to peer, right, we take a cut of that transaction. And so that's how we make money. And so you'll lose a bit of money to those fees. But if that's what you want to do, you're 100% free to do so.
And then from the flip side, like as someone that maybe owns real estate, how easy is it for them to list it on Lofty as an investment opportunity? Do they have to go through a certain process or file a certain kind of paperwork to do that? Or what kind of things do you need them to do in order to put it on Lofty?
Yeah. So again, we don't decide, like we're not managing a fund. So we don't decide what is considered a good investment. So we never filter what's allowed on Lofty based on that. We don't filter based on what we think is a good investment or not, the quality of the investment or anything like that. But we do try to filter for fraud, essentially, right? Like we maintain the marketplace. So we don't want bad actors on our platform. We don't want people lying about details of the properties or you know, things like that. So we check, background check all the sellers. We run credit checks for a lot of them, depending on you know, what they're selling in the structure. There are folks that essentially do HELOCs, like on Lofty, like it's their primary residence, and they're just pulling some money out and they're essentially paying rent each month now to the to the owners, and they're going to buy back their ownership at a future date at a fixed price, right? So for folks like that, you also do credit checks and things like that. And then the typical, we order all the inspection and appraisal reports just to make sure that there's no conflicts of interest. So we order the company, but the seller actually pays for them, right? So essentially, imagine a traditional real estate transaction. All the documents and all the sort of things you would expect to exist in that type of transaction, we make sure exist, right? We make sure that data and the documents are standardized. And then it's up to the buyers, the investors, to decide by reading these documents, like, okay, well, is this a good investment for me? Does this make sense? If, you know, maybe the roof needs to be replaced in 3 years, do I want to take that risk myself, right? But yeah, that's basically the only thing we do there to make sure that, you know, you don't have bad actors.
Are there any property qualifications? So like if someone found a plot of land, they bought it, immediately had it zoned residential, and then dropped a shipping container on it, put in a couple windows and a door, you know, does that qualify as investment at the bare minimum? And then at the higher end side too, can you list a multi-million dollar mansion if you wanted to in Beverly Hills? You know, because I'm not sure if you guys are focusing like a specific subset of real estate, or if it's just very generally broad and it's open to anyone and all kinds of different opportunities.
Yeah. So that's a good question. We don't have any particular structures, like anything can pretty much go. So in that first example, so the one thing I will say is a lot of people think retail investors are stupid, but we don't think that's actually the case. I think they're smarter than people give them credit for. And so if you want to, in that scenario, drop a shipping container and start, you know, selling ownership in that and say, hey, this is a great investment, people will be like, well, what's the yield? How much income are you generating from renting this out? Are you renting it out, right? How much did you buy the land for? Like, what is the appraised value? They look at these things and then they decide like, this seems like a very crappy investment. Or sometimes they're like, wow, this is actually a great investment because your cost is low and you're generating, proportionally speaking, a very high rate of return in terms of the income it can generate versus, you know, a nice mansion in Beverly Hills might look cool and it's kind of gives you clout, like, hey, I'm a part owner in this really nice mansion. But a lot of times those properties actually generate like 3% or 4% yield. And for a lot of people, that's actually not a very good investment because they say, well, I can alternatively put some money into treasuries, like high yield savings account is giving me like the same yield right now, right? And so it just depends. You can pretty much list whatever you want, but we can't promise or guarantee whether people would actually be interested in buying or owning that property, right? And so it really varies from property to property. Some just do incredibly well, people are obsessed with it. Some, you know, don't have the best warm reception, don't sell that much after a few months.
How creative can you get in terms of the way that you list a property? So for example, 6 years ago, I remember opportunity zones became like a huge thing in the US. It was like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. And we had a bunch of tax that we had to pay that we wanted to find a way to defer through real estate or through something similar. And opportunity zones came out with brand new laws and subsets of those in different ordinances for the first time. And so we started a business and declared it an opportunity zone fund and bought a couple houses and real estate opportunities. And then we were able to put our money into it and then lock it up for 10 years. And then we could pull it out after 10 years, completely tax-free. Kind of a cool way to invest into low income opportunities, create housing development, business development. And at the same time, not have to pay tax if you don't want to legally. Could you do something similar to that, like with Lofty? Could you set up like a fund opportunity with certain real estate where people could go onto Lofty and say, oh, well, I have to pay taxes. Maybe I want to invest that money and lock it up for 10 years and maybe take advantage of new laws that come out or new ways to defer any taxable gains that I might have.
Absolutely. You can pretty much, like I said, do whatever you want as long as it's legal. And that's the only thing. But you know, you can come as an individual and say, I don't have any partners, I don't know people. And so this is a good way for me to invest with anonymous people on the internet, right? And our interests are aligned because we're all trying to make money and make this investment work and managing it together. But you could also come with a group of people and your own capital and just say, hey, we have this property we're interested in acquiring, but we like this LLC structure. It's formalized, how voting works. You know, our platform like handles all the tax documents for you because we have all the data on your income, transactions, things like that. So there's a lot of advantages to just having this formalized platform. And so you could do that as well and just, you know, basically bring your own properties onto the platform. And not even sell anything and just keep it with your same group of people, but benefit from a lot of the advantages that our platform offers.
And you guys built this on Algorand, correct?
That's correct.
Why Algorand?
Yeah, so it really just comes down to sort of philosophy, I guess. We view blockchain as just a tool or a technology. It's not, we don't really believe in any of the thesis or things like that. Oh, this chain has to be the dominant one. Or like even people now say, I see a multi-chain future. We just don't think that really matters, right? We view blockchain just as a pure technology, like a specialized kind of database that fits certain purposes and not others, right? And so if you think about successful companies, you know, successful businesses, no one ever really asks them like, what database are you using? Nor do they ever like, that's not part of their advertisement. They're not like, use, you know, Uber because we're built on this service. Like nobody ever, right? Like if you think about businesses, that's not really a thing. And so that's how we treat this as well. And so we chose Algorand just because it worked for what we needed to do, which is essentially a public ledger that people would have confidence that we couldn't manipulate. So it's not our own private database that we could change whenever we wanted, or a rogue employee could go in and alter entries. So there's a public database that is fixed in terms of prior transactions, right? Cannot be reverted. Then we needed, because most of the users in real estate are not actually crypto folks. Like we have people that are like retirees and like in their 60s and like they don't even know how to use a two-factor authentication app, and like our support team has to walk them through it, right? So these are not by any means crypto native people. And they're used to, if they interact with technology, anything digital, a pretty seamless and quick experience, right? Like you click a button, you know, it just works. Like you buy something, it just like you immediately buy, you're like, oh, wow, I bought that, right? The transaction completed. So imagine going to these people and saying like, hey, click this button, wait like 40 minutes while it settles. Like, you know, that's not exactly a good user experience. And that happens on certain chains with certain transactions at peak times and stuff like that. And so we needed something with really fast transaction that settle very quickly as well. So Algorand fit that as well. And then with real estate, you know, it's a physical asset. And so the way it works is that the DAO, the entity, owns the deed to the property. And you as an owner, you own tokens in this DAO, right? And then so you own portions of this DAO. And so proportionally, if you own 10% of the DAO and it only owns one house, then you by proxy own 10% of the asset, which is the house, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, the record is really important here. So Algorand can't really soft fork, which would really suck. Like imagine, you know, you own this thing that's kind of like your digital title almost, or digital deed. And then like randomly you go to bed and wake up and now there's like two versions. And then you're like, well, which one like is the actual deed? Like, you know, how much do I actually owe? So Algorand doesn't do that. So that was a fit as well. So when you combine all those low transaction fees and things like that, it just fit what we needed it to do, which is create something that builds a lot of trust for Web2 users and give them an experience that they're already used to, but then take advantage of what you can build on top of Web3, like smart contracts, so that there's peer-to-peer trading and no middlemen involved, right? So that allows our marketplace to exist. You know, the ability to add in liquidity pools and automated market makers so that you can actually make real estate truly liquid. Like you can, you know, nowhere else can you do this, but on Lofty, you can buy and sell into a physical property with an actual address you can look up that you know, like legally you will own by law, with the same speed and user experience as buying a share of Apple stock online or on Robinhood or on your brokerage account. And so that can only exist because this is built on the blockchain. But at the same time, we wanted to give users that sort of Web2 familiarity and experience. And so, yeah, Algorand was just a chain that kind of worked for that. And that's how we approach blockchain in general. In the future, if a better alternative came along, we probably build on that one, right? It just depends on what our users need and what we think would be the best fit for that.
You also mentioned liquidity pools and AMMs on Lofty. Do you want to talk about that a little bit too?
Absolutely. So yeah, so this is also then again unique to Lofty and actually unique to real estate. And it's again enabled because of blockchain, right? So when people sometimes I get frustrated, I'm like, well, it's been 15 years, where's the utility? I'm like, hello, you know. So you know, traditionally you're able to buy and sell a share of stock very quickly in a very liquid fashion, mainly because market makers exist for these traditional markets. So they're like large companies, think Citadel, and they're like constantly buying and selling shares in the same stocks all day long. And by them doing that, they inject a lot of liquidity. So when you're trading at market prices, you're just like, oh, my transaction went through instantly. You're not actually trading with another person in front of their computer. You're doing it with the market maker. And so we have essentially brought that concept over to our marketplace so that there's now, instead of a company, it's a bot essentially, or an algorithm. So hence automated market makers. And this has existed in DEXs and DeFis as well. And now it's basically doing the same thing, buying and selling these tokens like nonstop. And by it doing that, the supply and demand of these trades, it's able to generate a spot liquid price. So you just come and you look at this property and it says, hey, it's being, you know, sold at this price, or like this is the price that's quoted to you. You can then, if you're okay with that price, buy or sell instantly at that price, right? But the algorithm doesn't have money. It's not like a company or a person. So where is it getting the liquidity to trade with you? Well, it's basically pulling that from a corresponding liquidity pool, right? So that's basically sort of like a vault on the blockchain where you can deposit two types of assets, the ownership or the property tokens, and then USDC, or essentially sort of like digital dollars, right? And it's basically taking the money, the dollars, to buy tokens, and then it's taking the property tokens and selling them to people if they want to buy those. And for people that use this market order, you basically get instant liquidity, which has never existed before. And for real estate people, that is phenomenal. Like, it blows their mind, right? And the funny thing is, they're so used to high fees in real estate transactions that when you tell them, well, in order to use this market order, you have to pay an extra 2.5%, they're like, great, like this is amazing, like this is nothing, right? I get to sell or buy instantly and it's only 2.5% versus traditionally a realtor taking 6% off of me. So they love, they're perfectly fine paying that. And that extra fee, it doesn't come to Lofty. It gets sent back into the pool as rewards for people sort of lending out their assets into the liquidity pool, right? So at a high level, you can now stake against a real world asset. You can lend assets out into this pool and benefit from yield generated by, again, a real business activity from actual trading, you know? And the more trading that occurs, the more fees you earn. And there's a lot of really unique sort of equilibrium incentives built within these pools that ensure liquidity goes where it's needed. And so one mechanism is that, you know, if people deposit USDC and there's a lot of sell orders, right, that comes through, it drains that part of the pool, you know, prices will also drastically decrease. And so a lot of people might say, oh, well, this is a great deal. Like, I could buy this house for 50% off. And there's, you know, assuming there's no serious issues, like, yeah, I think it's oversold. So people will buy and push the price back up, putting liquidity back into the pool. But also it will increase the yield because there's a lot of trading, right? And that goes to the USDC side of the pool. So it increases yield. And then a lot of people go, wow, this pool is earning like 20%, like, you know, annually right now. I would like to get in on that. Or sometimes in an extreme scenario, we've seen as high as, you know, 200-300%. Now, it doesn't last for the whole year, it maybe lasts for a week or two. But if you get in that week or two, you get disproportional rate of return from essentially staking that you wouldn't really get elsewhere, mainly because real estate people are used to paying higher fees than sort of crypto people, right? Like on most DEXs, you see maybe 10 to 25%, 10 to 25 basis points in terms of trading fees. 2.5% is 250 basis points. So you're like a factor of 10 higher on average per trade. And so that's really what's unique about these pools. And the one last detail is that for most liquidity pools, psychologically, the reason they're not really friendly to mainstream users is psychologically, you don't want to be the last person in the pool. If something were to happen, like, you know, and everyone panics and tries to pull their money out, you don't want to be the last person stuck there, right? And so that just makes us that people are kind of scared to interact with it. Like if you have a job or you have things to do, like it's like, you know, you can't monitor this 24/7. And there's always in the back of your mind, like, oh, like what happens if there's a, you know, a capital flight and everyone's trying to pull out. So for our pools, they're actually a penalty mechanism. It doesn't kick in 100% of the time. So if the pool is relatively balanced, it's as if it's not there, right? But when a pool is imbalanced, so one side having a shortage of assets versus other side, and you try to withdraw assets that would put the pool more out of balance, it would actually penalize, like you can still do it, but it would sort of hit you with a penalty fee that you have to pay to do so. And that penalty fee is variable. So the more out of balance you make the pool, the higher the fee, right? But that fee is, again, not paid to us as a company. It's paid out to everyone else on that side of the pool that isn't withdrawing. And so now there's this funny scenario where it's kind of actually advantageous to be the last person in the pool, because if you were, all the penalty fees you collect from everyone else leaving would in many cases equal the principal you put in plus some. So you actually make money being the last person in the pool. So now the incentives are completely changed, where a lot of people just don't care. They're like, yeah, I'll stay here. I don't care about leaving. I'm not worried about leaving. And that actually calms the market down. And so you don't see a lot of like mass deposits and mass withdrawals within these pools. And that creates lower volatility, which is good for real estate assets. Because at the end of the day, even though you can do it now, you probably shouldn't day trade real estate assets. It just doesn't make sense for that. And so we wanted to make sure that you know, our market and the pools and the AMMs worked in such a way that you know, provided the benefit to sort of Web3 folks who want to come staking, but also provided benefits to real estate investors who are using the market trades to make sure that, you know, they don't see crazy volatility, right? So really we kind of merged, you know, sort of DeFi concepts to a real world asset. And I'm pretty sure this is the first time it's happened. And so far it's worked out incredibly, and you know, both sides of the aisle kind of love it. Previously on Lofty, you had to KYC. So now with these pools, you can actually come with your own wallet and not even create an account and not KYC and just stake USDC if that's what you want to do. If you want to own real estate, you still have to KYC, unfortunately, because it's just not legal to own real estate in the US without, you know, like anonymously, you just can't really do that. But now you can stake USDC against a real world asset, earning yield from that. In a more like earning higher consistent yield from that in a less volatile environment. And I think a lot of people from the Web3 sort of background and space would find that really interesting and valuable.
Yeah, this is a very fascinating opportunity for people. Have you guys put out like any kind of educational content or courses to kind of like help explain how it works for people, whether it's the real estate portion of it or the AMM portion with liquidity pools?
Yeah. Sadly, it's you know, if you don't like reading, I have bad news for you. But yes, we have tutorials, we have detailed explanations. You can also join our Discord servers to ask any questions, and you know, happy to help our users and respond anytime. So yeah, but there are plenty of ways to learn how this works, how to use this. But you do kind of have to read. And so we don't currently have like educational videos or anything like that.
You should make some videos. You explain it really well.
Yeah, that's definitely in the pipeline. And thank you. I appreciate that. But that is a hope. We want to make this as easy to understand and accessible for people as possible.
What are your guys' plans for the rest of 2024? Like, what do you want to do with Lofty? Do you have any company goals, things you want to do to expand, different ways to offer fractionalized real estate? What are you guys cooking up?
Yeah, I think, you know, long-term, we had really two main visions. The first one was to make real estate accessible and liquid. And basically with the rollout of the AMMs and the pools, we've actually done that, right? So we're a little bit behind in that we have, I think, over 100, again, 40 something properties on the platform, but we've only rolled out pools in the AMM for 20 or something of them. So we have to do them one by one. Every property has their own pool, right? And so we're working for the rest of the year to quickly roll those out as quick as we can. But we've essentially accomplished the accessibility and the liquidity aspects. So the other vision that we really had was to basically turn this into the real estate super app, if you will, right? The goal here is to make it so that even if you're an experienced real estate investor, it doesn't matter. Like investing in real estate, managing and owning real estate and filing taxes for your real estate ownership on Lofty, our goal is to just make that at least 10 times better than if you were to do it on your own, like outside on the open market. And so the question then eventually goes for most people is like, why wouldn't I do this on Lofty? And that's the goal we're trying to achieve. Like, this is just objectively a better way to invest and own and manage real estate than if you were to do it outside. And so we'll continuously build new features on that front to make it easier and easier for people on our platform. And then there's still a little bit of feature like completion that we have to do, right? One of the things is we want a more robust governance system. So we call that governance 2.0. And so we're going to release that hopefully later this year. And really it's going to create a lot more freedom in your voting proposals and sort of right now we're kind of in the middle. You propose votes to us and we route it. Like we don't alter anything, but we route it to the other owners, but you still have to email us right now. And so, you know, that's not the best user experience. So once we open this up, it'll be sort of token gated forums. And then you can literally just propose anything yourself directly to the other owners. And we're going to take a step back. So I'm really excited for that. Then the other thing is, again, we're sort of mimicking the real estate market. We're not really in many cases doing new stuff. We're just taking a process or a thing that exists and thinking like, how can we make this better, right? And so one of the things about real estate is leverage. You can't really, you know, for most people, you can't really go to the stock market and say, I want to buy like $1 million worth of Tesla stock, but I only want to pay $200,000. I want to borrow the remaining $800,000. The rates are going to be ridiculously high. Like most people won't even grant that to you. But real estate is one of those funny assets where it's, you know, I wouldn't say easy, but it's completely the industry norm to leverage up a significantly higher than the principal you put down, right? And with certain programs like FHA and things like that, you can do even lower, like 5%, 0% in many cases. And so right now, most of the properties on Lofty are cash-based, and it will probably continue to be cash-based because that is the safest way for the underlying asset, right? Some have mortgages, but those tend to be like you have higher yield because of that, but they tend to be higher risk as well because the lender has first lien on the property. So if you don't pay the mortgage, they can like seize the house, right? And that's risky for folks. And so for that reason, we're basically trying to create a sort of decentralized lending product directly within the platform. But we don't want the property itself to be leveraged, right? Because now you have all these owners and some of them have different, you know, risk tolerances and investment timelines and profiles. And now they're all sort of equally carrying that risk, right? What we notice that's really interesting is, you know, maybe the house, the property can be all cash, but someone can say like, I'm buying into this property and I'm really conservative. I don't want to leverage up. Like, I want to do an all cash transaction. And you can't, you just buy tokens all cash, right? But someone else could come and say, hey, I want to buy $1,000 worth of tokens, but I only want to pay $200. I want to borrow the remaining $800. So they can do that as well. And once we enable that, it's almost like a synthetic mortgage that is specific to one owner. And so if that owner defaults for whatever reason, right, they're the only ones at risk. Their ownership is essentially the collateral, which can then get seized back by the lender and liquidated on the open market, which again, there's now, it's easy to calculate the risk and how to underwrite these loans because unlike real estate out on the open market, on our platform, they have a transparent market price that people are trading at, right? So you know exactly like how much these tokens would be worth ahead of time at any given point in time. And when this person gets liquidated, it doesn't affect any of the other people that are either making payments on their loan or who have bought all cash. And so again, this is one of those unique things where by having this built on the blockchain, you can deliver new features and sort of opportunities that is just objectively better than what exists out in the traditional real estate market. And that's kind of the goal here. So once we have that, we'll sort of be feature complete where you can essentially do anything you want on Lofty that you would be able to do like outside, like buying your own house. You know, you can get a mortgage, you can, you know, invest and you can sell whenever you want to, right? That will all be available on Lofty. And so, yeah, at that point, we'll probably focus a lot more on growth. Right now, it's purely organic, word of mouth. We don't really spend any money on marketing or advertising. But at that point, once we're feature complete, that's probably what most of our focus is on. But the ultimate goal is eventually we are trying to basically become sort of the NASDAQ for real estate, right? Like our goal and our hope is the majority of real estate transactions right now, mostly investment properties. But eventually, I believe this technology is actually beneficial for people who are just buying homes to live in, just because it's much cheaper, much faster, more transparent, right? And a much more enjoyable process for you. So the goal is eventually the bulk of the real estate transactions in the country just get routed and get processed on Lofty. And that's kind of what we're building towards.
Where can people go if they want to learn a bit more? So like, do you guys have social media? Do you have community channels, Discord, Telegram? Where would you direct people?
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter, for example. We're pretty active on there under Lofty underscore AI, right? So pardon the AI thing. It's a legacy of our original software product.
I was going to ask if there was an AI component
in the name as well. We just never really switched, but we're not really using AI for any of our products right now. So you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, you know, Instagram. We're pretty much on all the socials if you search Lofty AI. You can also reach out to us. We have Discord communities and Telegram groups. So if you have questions, you want to talk to other people and learn more about this, those are great choices. You can also just go to our website. We have a Learn Center. So lofty.ai is our website. You can read the Learn Center. It'll tell you about how taxes work, how ownership works, all this DAO LLC stuff, voting, liquidity pools, like anything that is on our platform, you can learn from this Learn Center if you're, you know, interested in reading more about it. And then we have a support team on there as well that you can chat with, ask questions. So yeah, we're here and we're here to stay. And so not hard to find us if you're interested.
Sounds good. We'll put everything in the description for the episode below so people can easily find all that stuff and easily get directed. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about Lofty. I think it's amazing what you guys are doing with real estate. I've seen very few people actually try and tackle it in this kind of way and fractionalize it and do it successfully. So a lot of credit to you and your team and whoever is, you know, also behind it. It seems fantastic. I'm definitely going to try it myself. I'm going to throw some money at it and have some fun with it. But it's great. It opens up a lot of opportunity for people, changes the industry. And that's the whole point of being in this space,
absolutely.
Changing the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope, you know, regardless of whether you use a product or not, which I hope many of you guys do try it out, if people ever give you the, oh, what is this crypto blockchain stuff? It's all useless and there's no, you know, utility to it, point them at us. I think, you know, we've already proven it a few times, but we've converted a lot of naysayers into believers this way.
Exactly.
Prime have an example
right there. Awesome, Jerry. We'll have this episode out soon. Again, thank you so much. This has been a fantastic conversation and let's do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me here and I hope you guys found it interesting.